Was that your whole point, John? Is there anything else? Guess so.
I was just unmuting. Yes, you have answered it. I appreciate your word of caution.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the staff for questions, or shall we move towards temperature taking? Okay, this is like last call. All right. So now we're going to move into kind of temperature taking. And temperature taking is where the members of the committee sort of inform each other how they're feeling about the budget. Positive, negative, I have these concerns, I have those concerns. For the folks that are presenting the budget, I think it's fine to respond if there's a specific point, but we try not to get into constant rebuttal and just sort of let people air what the issues are, with the idea that once we sort of go around everyone, we have an idea of what the issues are for members of the committee, and then we can try to resolve them if they exist. So what we often do for temperature taking is just go around and have everybody weigh in. So I think maybe we'll try that, unless someone really, really, really wants to go first. Okay, so let's just go around. All right, starting in the east. R. Paul, would you like to go first?
Okay, let's see. All right, one. I'm looking at the spreadsheet, and we're looking. So far, I have seen. I've been skipping around with everybody through page 3 of 21, and we actually got this after the meeting started. So there's been no chance to really look at this and even look at it much, much less really dig into it or anything. So I have a problem with that. The other thing is, we have in Pacifica for a long time been optimists, and we've been optimistic in our finances. And right now, I'm seeing a pattern here of we're basing this budget, the National Office budget, on a negotiation which we only have one side for. And it's, I'm sure that there's been good analysis, and it's, not just picking a number out of the sky or something, but you don't know how things are going to work. If you play chess, you might get a really great opening that you think you're going to do great with, but then you go in there and the other person makes a move you didn't expect, and things get different. So basing everything on the projection of the Democracy Now! Amount being enormously reduced, what is that, like 80% reduced or something, I'm uncomfortable with that. Also, as I brought up, the legal part of it is I think there are things we're being told are going to happen in New York, and geez, there are a lot of lawyers in this city, and there are rather a lot of people who have standing to hire lawyers in this city. And I think, in my personal opinion, I am not a lawyer, I'm not one of the lawyers, in my opinion, there will be significant grounds for lawsuits if something is done about BAI. Not that I'm saying we should not do anything about BAI. I've said the opposite for years. It's a little late. So I think the legal has the real potential to be maybe significantly higher, since the deductible is now $250,000. I think on those two alone, I am very concerned about the money. And the third point is not having been able to look at this for real. So I can't vote for this right now. That's my bottom line.
Tracy, may I put my information?
Okay.
Or I can wait till just on, again, on the allocation of legal expenses in terms of the promulgation of the budget. I agree, our poll raises very important issues about the legal, but they wouldn't be attributable to the national office budget except for contractual lawyers, but not if litigation were to ensue. It would end up being attributable to BAI and something that would have to be factored in there, even if we know the reactions are different. I'm just talking about the budget. Thank you.
Okay, so let's just continue and, you know, remember that temperature taking is temperature taking. We're just trying to surface all the issues for everybody. Manajay is the other rep from New York. I don't think she's here. Has he joined us? Okay, then we will go to D.C. and Marcus, you're up.
Hi, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Tracy?
We hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. This seems like a thoughtful document that I feel I can support. I agree with the caution about legal expenses and would support some enhancement of that number. But otherwise, I'm okay. I'm done.
Tracy, we can't hear you.
I'm coming. Sorry. Sometimes you put yourself on mute. It's hard to get off. Okay. Tony, you would be next.
Yes. I share our Paul's concern about the legal, too. Not just, we got a lot of lawyers in Washington, too. And I'm concerned about that also. But to look at, even though I know that each station pays for it, but you know, some stations, it may ultimately fall up onto the national board. So I don't. I'm concerned about that issue also. But so I'm still looking over it and looking at it. So I'm. I'm studying. So let me just say I'm weighing the budget now. I'm still going over. I just got it, and I'm looking at some other parts of it. But I do have concerns, I believe.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm still thinking about it is a valid response. Okay, so that brings us to Texas. Jim Boyd. Jim, are you with us? Maybe not. Okay, Richard.
Okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to ask or not ask question, but I'm wondering why the administrative expenses are down, what, 40%? How do you do that? From last year.
I think Raul is going to answer, but it's probably relative to
control. Yeah, I could answer that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Richard, it's mostly the consultants that we have in 2013 is administrative. And then we also have big legal bills down from 233 to 90,000 as we were discussing. And the consultants down from $309,000 last year to $37,500 this year, up for 2014. Those are the big items.
That's because we're, instead of having people that are booked as consultants and they come through accounting agencies, they're being put in as employees in the budget. So they're going to salary, and it's cheaper that way, too.
So that's why salary's gone up?
Yes.
That's right.
I come back to the $193,000, and I know I was told that some kind of adjustment, some or other out there, I don't know. I don't know how we could approve anything that has a big deficit or has any kind of deficit. So I guess I'm still scratching my head, and I concur with Tony and our Paul about the and some others maybe about the legal, you know, it's just a very litigious atmosphere. But I hope we get it. I hope we get it down a little closer to balance.
Okay. Well, you know, we will work on that. Okay. Thanks, Richard. All right. So that brings us to California. Michael Novick.
Am I audible?
Yes.
I have some of the same concerns, particularly about the kind of building a budget based on an anticipated, you know, reduction in the cost of democracy now, although I certainly appreciate the need and desire to reduce those costs. I guess I also have a concern about hiring a national program director at this time, given our, you know, fiscal position overall. I think that the improvement at the stations has to be primarily in programming that is pertinent to the local station areas. I think that's been a big weakness at many stations, that they no longer are putting on programming that meets local needs. And I'm not sure that a national program director is the best way to make that happen. I, you know, would express a concern from the National Elections Committee, especially since the money is budgeted for October through December, that we might want to look at holding the election, you know, in the earlier part of this fiscal year rather than waiting until, you know, close to the end again. So since it isn't a budget in that way, I would hope something can be done to make it happen that way.
Okay, that brings us to John Crumshaw. John, are you on the call?
So I'm here. I just unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I would say that I am a bit concerned about the idea of having a national program director in that. There seems to be a duplication, since many studios, I mean, many stations have their own program director, and I'm not sure how that would fit into the whole picture and what it would do to the independent stations. A national development director is being reasonable to fundraising, but a program director might do something good network wide, but then the stations feel that they individually don't have enough control. And the other issue that I'm concerned about is the Democracy Now! Funding situation. Sure, it's been worked out in a satisfactory way. And so.
Can't hear you, John.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you're breaking up again.
I've got there. I'm trying to get to a better location, but I can't seem to get to a really good one. Can you hear me okay now? Are you able to hear what I said? Hello?
I heard some.
John, that's actually better now.
Oh, sorry. I guess I'm not in a location, and I'm inside the Teachers Los Angeles building. It goes in and out. I'm sorry. I'll have to give up this.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can get back to John if you have more to say when you're in a more stable communications place. Okay.
I had one other question. Am I available?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if this is just in the way of a question. There's an item 5900, it's the line 11. I think SCA income, is that the sidebands or something else? And if it's not the sidebands, where that income is reflected?
It's the sidebands.
That is. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so let's see. That would leave Berkeley. Barbara Whipperman, are you on the call?
Okay, then we're up to me. All right. So just to sort of reiterate what I heard from people in the group is I heard some concern about the level of legal expenses. I heard some concern about the timing of the election. I'm just sort of making a short list to see if we can try to kind of deal with these things. And then I heard some concerns about the whole adjustment scenario. So those seem to be the three things that people kind of identified.
The program director position?
Yeah, which is actually part of the whole sort of three-part adjustment that this budget is kind of based on. But yes, so let's just keep those to the side as a short list. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the adjustments and some of my thoughts about that. And Summer, I do want to say that I appreciate the honesty of what's being portrayed here, and I do think in many ways it's an accurate portrait of where we're genuinely at. So I think the question here is more one of what logistically makes sense to put in a budget. And that is kind of where I'm going with my comments. I'm not in any way disputing the accuracy of what's basically down here. And I think it is actually...
I'm completely open as to how we approach the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I try to be realistic. Yeah, so I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not disputing the narrative at all, and it's a lot more realistic than some national office budgets I've seen in the past, and that's good. The question is sort of, you know, what we're going to do with these realities that we're facing. So I think that it bears repeating that we're looking at about a $247,000 increase in the national office payroll numbers over what's projected for 2013. If we were to take that out, I'm not saying that we should, I'm just saying if, and leave in the central, the shared services as they have been projected by all of the stations, we would not have any gap or any deficit whatsoever. So that's an important thing to say. What we're being presented with is that we do... is the opinion or the assertion that we have to add these positions for functionality. And I think we can certainly have a dialogue about that, but that's what's basically being presented to us. In the past, and those of you who have been on the Finance Committee for a while will remember this, and I guess that includes Summer and our Paul, and if Jim Boyd were here, we'll remember that we have been to the path of the difference between the central services that are put into budgets and the amount that actually makes its way to the national office. And we have in the past messed around with making adjustments to those figures. And politely, I would say it was a controversial thing to do. It was done, I believe, in 2012. And partially because of the difficulty of that, it was not done in 2013. So we're sort of looking at that kind of once again. And when I take a look at this adjustment, it looks like it's $320,000 that we're taking out, as opposed to the $247,000 that we're adding to the national office budget. And I guess a part of what's going through my head is that these sort of, you know, offsetting adjustments are kind of the distance between where we want to be and where we actually are. Whether or not it makes sense to bridge that gap with the Democracy Now! Contract, I think we all hope that that's what's going to happen. But I don't know if we can assume that on quite the level that we're assuming it. I have no doubt that when that contract is renegotiated that the amount will be less. I have some doubt that it will be as less as we're hoping, although probably it should be. And I'm also not sure whether the amount that we're adjusting, and part of the reason that I asked for the concrete numbers is I wanted to know how each station was doing. I'm not sure whether the concrete numbers, the adjustments that were made, whether or not they were too severe or not. And 80% reduction in shared services is pretty humongous. 50% is not so humongous and might make sense to help a station recover. 80% is extremely large. Kind of going on and on a bit. But what's going through my head is it's sort of, you know, staff that we would like to add if financing allows. Sometimes belong in something that's kind of like a wish list. And I hear what some are saying, that this is more than a wish list. These are basic, you know, functional positions that we need. But I think it perhaps is more rational to try to fund them with the shared services than it is with an 80% contract reduction that we've not yet negotiated. So I'm going to push a little bit towards not making uncollectible quite as large an amount of money as we've made uncollectible. I think perhaps the weights between those two things is not quite right. And that perhaps if we worked with a Democracy Now! Adjustment that was smaller and an uncollectible number that was that was not as large, that we might be doing a slightly better job at covering this gap. I think there's also a question of human resources and national programming. If we had to choose between these two, what's the higher priority? And I would also put that out as sort of a question, not as a declaration that we're going to do one or the other, just sort of as a question, if it could only be one, which one would it be? I would guess human resources, but I don't know for sure. So that's one thing that I'll put out there. And I guess that I'll stop there. I think we are going to need to massage these numbers a bit.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly how.
Okay, well, I'm good. No, that's good feedback. May I try to address some of the things directly?
Yep.
Okay, so on legal, I'm completely negotiable to have a higher number. I agree it's a conservative number based on our basic lawyer usage and the incredibly litigious environment the Pacifica actually is. So I'm adjustable there, but we're also basing it on not paying out huge chunks of money like we were doing before, but actually on like sort of what's our regular lawyer usage. And I've obviously taken tremendous strides to reduce the unnecessary usage of attorneys, like having them sitting on conference calls for very extended periods of time, racking up bills. So a little adjustment there I'm okay with. Yes, definitely in terms of order of priority, human resources is absolutely number one. I might be able to make that work as a part-time position conceivably, but I want it to be a regular position. So conceivably, I've been crunching the numbers a whole bunch of different ways to try and figure out how to make this work. Originally, I wanted a development director position with benefits and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I can't get enough development director for what I can pay. So I would say human resources, top priority of the three staffing positions, could potentially be done at slightly less than full time, but only to a certain extent. Development, critical and can be directly tied to those revenue line items so that at least that becomes a wash, I believe. I'm okay with tying national program director. The board a couple of years ago passed a sort of hybridized position between national program director and fund drive coordinator. Honestly, the reason we are making money on the East Coast stations is because I spend a lot of time coordinating programming. I coordinate with the West Coast stations on what programs are going where, who's offering what. I have everybody communicating with each other so they know what to share. There are a lot of details. When we do national programming specials, I am in the middle of having to produce and pick who the producers are, how the KU is going, what are we doing here. It's at a level that I can't quite describe to you. We're running a multi-million dollar radio network, and there is no one to whom I can delegate the coordination of anything nationally. We don't have program directors at several of the stations. So some of this is filling in gaps. National has consistently, over the course of this last year, filled in what amount to staffing or personnel gaps at the local level or various things that just aren't being handled. And we take up that slack. And the same is true when it comes to programming on some of these levels, and certainly when it comes to the fundraising aspects of programming. I mean, there is a reason we're making more money than we were making 2 days ago. These are important things for network and our kind of trouble. So for me, this is a position that encompasses more than one thing. It is a real crisis when we don't have news. These are things that have to be dealt with. I'm going to be on a conference call tomorrow discussing what we are doing next with news. I'm okay with tying that position as a more provisional, sidebar position in terms of, i.e., if you are able to successfully negotiate this contract, you know, and you can afford to fund the position, you can fund it. You know, I don't have a problem with the idea that, you know, I already had made that decision. Obviously, I can't fund something if we can't pay for it. We're not going to be able to do that. And human resources and development are taking a priority. But I do invariably end up having to deal with programming things on a regular basis. And focusing real attention could cause us to really do much better as a network. So I feel it's, again, one of those positions that will pay for itself almost instantly, because changing the dynamics of a fund drive at a station for 1 week changes can fund a position like that. I mean, it's literally, that's what we're talking about in terms of the amounts of money that we need to raise when we're in fund drive and what it takes to make that work well. And then you have the larger issues of, are we serving, you know, news and things of that nature. I don't mind tying it to, you know, something provisionally that has to do with restricted fund, but that is something that is an ongoing discussion. So I guess what I'm saying is, of the three positions, that's the one I don't mind having more provisionally based on the ability to pay for it or tying it to something that's directly national programmatically related, such as restricted funds. So I guess I feel about that. Now, I do feel that, I mean, I think everyone knows this. The problem with booking central services that don't come, I mean, I might as well have all my positions in there, because if the money's not real and I can't actually fund the position, it doesn't really matter whether it's because I put a position in or because the money isn't actually going to come in. We still don't have the money. I expect, you know, Brian and I, when we get to his budget, you know, there are things we can do, again, in development to increase the amount of money we have it coming in the door incrementally but perceptibly, and that may make the difference to fund one of these positions. If we take out all three of the positions that I would like to add to the budget and we just left it with being realistic about central services and the unrenegotiated contract, we'd still end up with a huge six-figure deficit, because the contract still exceeds what's actually coming in cash flow. So at the end of the day, I still obviously am hopeful of positively resolving that in a way that's amicable for both organizations. But I understand that it is not something that is yet negotiated. It's something that we have a lapsed contract and we're still playing programming, and there it sits. So in terms of booking it at that full pre-negotiated amount, I'm also uncomfortable with that. That's where we find the company, because I feel there's going to be some gap no matter what we do, and it's imperative to bring our outside program relationships in line with realistic shape and some of the tangible, you know, there are tangible business relationships and some have changed over time. So what the relationship does for us when a program is broadcast on 5 or 6 platforms of media market and we don't have exclusivity, it is what it's able to do for us as a media provider. So I think somehow we have to close those gaps a little, but I'm fully negotiable as to how it's resolved. I mean, I'm okay with adjustments at the budget, and I'm okay probably with any other suggestions. But I do functionally believe that the failure to fund really necessary positions at the national level has had a compromising effect on the entire network, the individual stations, where the type of support that should have come from national wasn't there because the human beings to do the work weren't there. And we can change that dynamic. When a request is coming in to the local station and they don't have any idea how to handle this, if you have a department that handles these things, there's a packet of paperwork. There's someone to talk to. You know what to do with it. It goes to the right place and the appropriate follow-up occurs. Those type of things will help the local stations as well. So somehow I want to account for that, because it's very hard to say what are you going to do to fix the organization and how do you defend your budget, and you can't include any of these things that would fix it. And you have, you know, it's well beyond your ability to pay and it hasn't yet been adjusted, but you still have to account for it. So I think that's what we're dealing with here, is that this may not be resolved for some period of forward. But I also don't necessarily have to fill every position immediately. I fill a program director position maybe, kind of depends on what happens with news on some levels as well, but maybe in January, you know. So those are my thoughts on that, on all of those, the wide range of topics that were brought up.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm going to start doing a little fiddling with some of these numbers.
Sorry, am I audible? Yeah. Michael, I was trying to get on the stack.
Can I say one other thing about services? Tracy, you're right. Some of those numbers might significantly improve. It's, New York is such an unknown quantity right now, and that's part of the issue. I think PFW's numbers might be significantly better than that. I just want to take a measured approach to projecting that this year, since they haven't been the past year, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Am I audible, Michael Novick?
You are. And you're next, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of suggestions. One, you know, I think that what you were just describing, Summer, about the programming vis-a-vis the fund drives actually sounds more like a development responsibility than the national program director. And I'm thinking that maybe the first task on the, if we have somebody in that position, even as a consultant, would be to bring all the station fund drives up in some kind of consulting position, as you were just describing some of the tests that you've been trying to perform. It seems to me that because the, I mean, it's somewhat topsy-turvy, but it's how Pacific exists, that the essential funding source for the foundation is the stations, that the biggest priority is to get the stations' houses in order. That would also solve the problem that you're talking about of having, you know, imaginary, you know, station shared expenses, which is the income really that the network has. The foundation has. Related to that, I think that, you know, if you hire a program director, that becomes really a very permanent position. And I'm thinking that maybe that position could also be more like what you were describing for the consultantship for the fundraising or development.
The development, yeah.
Yeah, let me get the idea out, and then, you know, you can see what you think about it. I would look at it more almost as like a producer position and putting out like a request for proposals, let's say two major national documentaries or documentary series, something like that, that would really break ground that no individual station could do. And for Jeff Pacifica as a, you know, content provider on major national issues or international issues, that, you know, could be maybe even an audiovisual type of thing that gives us, you know, other ways of, you know, getting the content out, and looking at that as something that would really kind of shift the paradigm a little of what national programming means, as opposed to just being like, you know, some kind of you know, something that's just run on our five stations is something that really, you know, affects the whole national discourse on some issues that are, you know, of, you know, major significance and national issues. And that would also be something that is not an ongoing personnel expense, but is, you know, more geared to particular programmatic efforts, you know, short-term basis.
Okay. This is Tracy. You probably talked about this, but line 6780, other development expenses? That's part-time. That's a consultant of some kind? The $60,000?
Yeah, that was instead of putting it in salary. Let me just pull it up. But yeah, it was to cover, yeah, 60 grand. It was 5,000 a month for development.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Adjustment.
Yes,
you
can. Of course. Go ahead.
Summer, one of those expenses that I think that it would be changing from consultant to salary is the human resources, and you've talked a lot about that, and we've all known for a long time that that would help us. This last year, didn't you tell me one time that you, or maybe several times, didn't you tell me that, you were using a human resource aspect of the insurance company or some one of the banks or something?
We still do. We have a consulting human resources firm. The problem is, let me say the very first problem is, of course, these decisions were made prior to my tenure, and this was recommended by our insurance carrier, who only have what companies are out there, but they don't do union work. 80% of our shops are union shops, which means I can't go to them for help on things that affect the vast majority of my employees. But beyond that, they're not designed to be on-site HR. They're designed to be an adjunct to that HR, to give them state-by-state consulting, you know, here are the laws and this type of thing. They expect to be a resource for resources professional that works in your office. We used a consultant HR professional for a period of time this last year who was very helpful in various things. But we're back to the fact that, you know, we want to get away from consultants from agencies, particularly where you pay more, and for something like human resources, have that person on staff and a salary.
Yeah.
So yes, we have been using human resources, and yes, we still have that service, but by itself, it's not sufficient to address our organizational needs, really.
Okay, that's just what I was wondering about. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, so WBAI is 266, that'd be 133.
Sounds like Tracy has her shoes off counting.
she's crunching the numbers to, you know.
I'm trying to see what I come up with.
On the flip side, even with New York, I mean, sometimes if I take the request for proposal out of the picture for a minute and I look at it and say, okay, if we raise enough money in this fund drive to pay off our debts, functionally we've reduced expenses in New York by over $1 million a year this coming year over what they were last year between moving out of Wall Street and the layoffs. The problem is, as we all know, we need money for like, building studios. Like, I can see where I'm like, we could possibly get through this and be in a place where we're generating revenue. But because of the long-standing history of money flowing the other way, that's, of course, why I'm so uncomfortable with any projection that's and, of course, we also don't know what will actually transpire in the next couple of months. So I felt comfortable putting something in there because even if there were a lease arrangement of some sort, I believe that shared expenses would be a reimbursable expense legally. So,
Yikes. I don't know what to do.
Well, depending on the timeline of your committee, I mean, I know we're past schedule and everything, but whether you all want to keep it and work on it and we come back on another day to pass it, I know you didn't get the budget until right at the meeting, so that's your call collectively. I don't know. I mean, it is obviously without having renegotiated that debt item, it is problematic to be able to project a realistic budget that also encompasses things like necessary positions like human resources and the unknown central services of the two East Coast stations.
Arpal, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to say something earlier, but turned out I was on mute. We've all done that. Anyway, yes, I think it is entirely possible that BAI could recover over this next year and start recovering now. I just want to say very fast again, the problem at BAI has been that for more than 14 years, we didn't have a real program director, okay? You can see how that would have an effect. And so, you know, do something about that, and things could turn around kind of rapidly. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
So, Paul, I feel you all that.
Well, let me sort of make a positional thing about kind of what we can do. So I filled with these numbers,
And I think there's a couple possibilities for how we can sort of present this budget, assuming that we're sort of in agreement that these are kind of the figures that we're working with. The first is that we could get rid of all the new positions, and we could presume 50% BAI Central Services, 50% PFW, and 50% drop in DN, which is a bit less stark than what Summer put out, and we would, in fact, have a balanced budget. The alternative is we could take the approach that shared services at the level that they were put into the station budgets should be presumed that they'll be paid. It is reasonable. I mean, don't forget with BAI that we're looking at a considerably reduced amount because the fund drive amounts are much smaller than they've been projected in previous years. And if we were to do that and presume, you know, again, a smaller cut in the Democracy Now! Contract, we could also arrive at a balanced budget. So I think it's almost a philosophical question.
All right.
About how we want to deal with the shared services. And I guess from a logistical point of view, we have already passed station budgets that presumed a certain amount of shared services will be paid. I understand the difference between reality and what's in budgets. But if, in fact, the deficit is primarily based on two things, adding staffers and the DN contract, that, in fact, if we don't have the money, we're simply not going to pay, it might be more consistent to use the shared services payments as they were structured in each station's budget. That's all I'm going to say, because having money that basically is in the station's divisional budget but not in the NO budget is kind of, from an accounting point of view, a bit messy, because it's like the money drops off the face of the earth.
Okay. May I, Tracy?
Yeah.
Okay. I potentially live with the accounting argument makes sense that these amounts have been passed in the divisional budget. Realistically, the new IGM of Washington, D.C. feels they will be able to pay full central services by their February drive, not the December drive, but by February. If that were to be actually have full central services payments from that unit. How do I put this? It is clear that one can make programming decisions about what to put in primetime hours may change fund drive results. It is conceivable for things may happen in that will lead to a more positive outcome. Obviously, I spend as much on New York as I have all year, which is a lot. Do everything we can to support to get fundraising there, same tower, just trying to get caught up to that severance.
You're breaking up badly.
I believe if it's already been passed in the other budgets, I can live with the full allocation of central services. If the staffing positions need to be tied provisionally to how successful negotiations are with DN, I don't know. Where do we get if you leave in full central services? What am I running as a deficit if you're still booking the entirety of the end?
It's a small
without
deficit.
Cutting out the three possessions.
Yeah. Give me a second, and I will give it to you. Let me actually type it into the spreadsheet so I don't give you the bad number. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to leave the phone on speakerphone, so you guys can keep talking. I'm going to drop the phone for a second and play with
you. Okay.
Did I hear correctly, this is Richard, did I hear correctly Tracy saying something about by making these assumptions that like 80% of the money wouldn't come from BAI, et cetera, that accounting-wise, it kind of lets money fall off the table.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could put in the absolute total of the approved budgets, and then some way say, well, I'm not going to spend that whole amount. I'm only going to spend 90% of it, or some whatever. Would that be a clear way of representing that?
Well, I don't know. Let's hear from Trey. And I mean, obviously, if we put out and I don't make those reductions, I mean, it has significant impact in terms of the ability to fund these positions, take a more moderate approach.
You're cutting out. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Let's wait for Tracy to come back on the line. Okay, she's going to French.
I think she's still there. She just has it on speaker.
Well, I mean,
I'm here.
Hi.
Okay. So let's see. 12 and 34 is 44, 46. So there's 146,000 additional on the salary line. And there's 60 in other development. So that basically is 206, give or take.
Well,
so we have an $193,000 gap. Basically, it's the $193,000 gap. So what I'm thinking it might make sense to represent is that we have $193,000 basically personnel increase, because our personnel increase is $206,000. So we have a surplus if we don't add those positions nominally. And also, of course, on our ongoing debt service challenges, because we have back stuff, too, that we're responsible for. It's not all BN. There are some other debts in there, which are going to factor. How do people feel about showing a $193,000 deficit to be pegged with a Well, let's see, how much is democracy now? 650. So it would be a $325,000 DN reduction with the new hires contingent on successful negotiations with DN.
Well, I'm okay with that, Tracy, but I think you're asking the committee members. Okay.
I am.
I mean, it doesn't thrill me, but it makes sense, and I can live with it, so...
Yeah, I mean, it does make us a little vulnerable if D.C. and New York are collapsing, but I think that we're making an organizational commitment to fixing that.
We are.
So I think we kind of have to assume that it's going to be better, because there's not really a choice for it to get worse.
Well, and we're seeing some tangible improvements immediately, so I think that some of that is not entirely unrealistic.
Michael, over to the stack.
I don't know. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess, well, I said that part of what I thought about program director earlier, I think in terms of the contingency idea of the additional personnel, that the priority order should be the human resources person, which, you know, maybe, as Summer said, could be less than a full-time, slightly less than a full-time, maybe 80%. And then the development consultant, and then the program, I would prefer as a consultant and as a director. because the picture going forward is not clear to me for the next year. Either it will be out of the woods.
Summer, would you say in terms of priorities that's where you would be? Or does that sound different than what your priorities would be? In other words, HR first, then development, then programming.
I'm okay with that, too.
Okay.
I mean, essentially, in terms of my own priorities, you know.
Yeah, I was just asking if it sounded about right or totally backwards from your point of view.
No, I mean, I may have to contend with immediate programmatic needs, but I can handle that on a somewhat case-by-case basis. I'm okay with it in terms of overall priorities. Human resources as part of liability protection for the organization. Development helps make more money. Programming helps us improve our product. You know, and I think in terms of the criticality, yeah, I'm okay with that order.
Okay.
Just a little, I have a comment, Tracy. If I can.
Yes, please.
Yeah, with the removal or the adjustment of the development director, we have budgeted about 200,000 additional revenue that is dependent, I believe that dependent on generating this revenue, or dependent on the development director. So if we are not putting a development director, should we adjust a revenue, our corresponding revenue adjustment on the top line, on the revenue side as well?
I'm not sure what it is that we're...
The development director?
Yeah, what is the income that we're matching to? We have Mail Fund Drive, affiliates.
The Fund Drive?
Okay,
well,
so
mailings don't require a development director.
No, they don't. I wrote, but well, here, may I just say, the reason I put it under consultants, besides not having enough money to really make it a salaried position, I wrote the letters we're going to be using, but I am working a little bit with Goldbusters. Certain database cleanup issues, there are things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that have to be done to achieve some of these things. Grant income, it's very small amount of money. But somebody has to do the work to do it. Major donor. And it's like I'm doing as many pieces of the missing positions as I can, but I feel that line items, each one can be incrementally brought up by the use, even in a piecemeal fashion, of development services, whether it's aid direct people on different component parts. So I do think that having no ability to spend money on development obviously will impact to a certain than these other things. I'm clearly going to try and do as many of them as possible, regardless of whether we have a position funded in any way, but there will be some, probably. So, I mean, one would
okay,
help
well,
you.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say on this income. I think the only item that it would impact necessarily is the fund drive number, and if we need to take it down, we'll take it down. But the major donor grants income, 50 grand, was apparently achieved in 2013. Without.
Are you aware with what that is, frankly, in Rubble?
Yeah, I just looked into that. There was an adjustment in 2012 that's being reversed when I rolled over the amount into 2012, the $56,000. So I need to check how that happened. Find out why the $56,000 was being reported as revenue in 2013 as well.
Thank you, because I thought that's the problem, because, you know, I'm kind of aware of every check that comes in the building that's got an extra couple of zeros on it, and I'm not aware of money that came in last year. And that's, see, I want to be able to some attention to these things. I don't believe the grant money last year, so even asking for, like, a small technology grant, I need to put somebody even on a piece-by-piece basis to say, sure, I want you to work on that. I mean, I spent my last weekend reading over who has what available in terms of foundation grants, but I need to be able to pay somebody that already has some access and knowledge to say, don't waste your time here, let's put in something here. And even to do it, again, on a project basis, I have to be able to pay somebody to do any of this type of stuff. So that's all. I want to be able to support these activities because we will see results, I believe. So I don't know how you want to deal with that in terms of tying it to negotiations. I'm not necessarily going to spend that all at once, obviously. But anyway, I don't know. Talk about the committee, but there will be This is over the course of a year's budget, so conceivably we could make significant moves next month or two, and then we're fine.
Yeah. Well, then perhaps the priority needs to be development first, HR second.
Maybe, given
our HR, that's painful to say.
If I may be so bold, I would prefer if the board would leave it to me as management in terms of allocating out which resource, which position becomes most critical. There are different times when different things are critical to us, and that's also why sometimes you're not hiring a position for the year, but you do need to use someone for this aspect of something. So I think I would ask that the board leave me that latitude to prioritize what our internal needs are in terms of addressing what's facing the network.
Because I understand. I'm just talking about getting this draft passed, because we're basically adding personnel with money that we don't necessarily have. So
perhaps it could be addressed as the entire issue of adding personnel being contingent upon my ability to successfully negotiate our contract obligations down to something which will allow that.
If you are able to successfully negotiate DN down by 50%, then the personnel positions can be added. We can up the legal a bit, which I think we probably want to do. And we would show a surplus. That doesn't, of course, deal with back payables.
So,
but that's beyond our capacity to deal with here.
I could even deal with legal at like 10 cents a month, which makes 190. I don't know if the committee would.
Okay. So I'm leaning in the direction that we're going to project full payment of central services as budgeted. We're going to project that the Democracy Now! Contract will be approximately halved. That's going to give us, on paper, $100,000 or so of surplus, which we can partially, I think, allocate a certain amount to legal, which I think we should. And the balance would be a cushion against some level of non-payment of central services. In other words, we will not assume that $300,000 in shared services won't be paid, but if we can end up with $100,000 surplus for the national office, that gives us a little bit of space. If the DN negotiation goes through, and if it doesn't, then we probably will not be paying these extra salaries. And that gives us a little bit of cushion for central services that may not be paid or paid late.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I'd like to ask, if that's how that math works out with full payment of central services, halving of DN, which obviously I hope for something better than that, frankly, but I would, again, I'm comfortable with the 30 additional for legal, because that makes it an even number, 10 per month, 120 for the year. Could be more, could be less. But, I would like to keep my $50,000 development line item, because that isn't a salary position. It will be used probably in chunk pieces. It's October. I've got to do as many things as I can. I'm working, with the archives. We're working on developing development, because we need money coming in from other streams. So rather than committing to staff positions, I'd like to keep the development line, because that way I can use a little here and a little there, project by project basis, so I can move us forward on each of these things over the next couple of months, using a little bit of it before the end of the year, and hopefully again by then with successful negotiations and maybe fund HR. So that's kind of how I feel about that. If we end up with that kind of surplus, is we're not going to use that money all at once, and hopefully it'll net us results that help improve our income for the year. And then maybe that helps us take our position,
Yeah,
right. Trying to find money here anywhere, We can go find money for the positions elsewhere. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so I think we're getting close. Okay, so $120,000 in legal remains, and that brings our admin to 633210. Is that right?
Oh, God.
Okay, let's see if this number's correct here. Total administrative, AB 45 to AB 74, that looks correct. Okay, so 63322. All right, whatever. I'll just schmiddle that around. Okay. Which leaves us with a $223 deficit. We're going to go to DN. So it's $54,181 a month, and we're going to project that we can reduce that by about half starting in January. So let's take that down to $27,000 a month. And in no way is this meant to suggest you shouldn't negotiate it down further.
Thank you.
In no way.
Thank you, because I had a target number. No, okay, thank you.
Not even close. Get that thing as far down as you can.